May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Song of Solomon, chapter 6. It says in verse 8, there are 60 queens and 80 concubines and maidens without number, but my dove, my perfect one, is set apart and unique. She is her mother's only daughter, and she is the pure child of the one who bore her. The maidens saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines also, and they praised her, saying, and it goes on and on. In the language of the Song of Solomon, here is the Shulamite who kind of has separated herself, not in terms of pride, but the other people there represent believers who are faithful believers. But here's one who's decided that they want to experience everything that Christ purchased for them to experience. They want to grow in their experience of union with him at its highest level. They want to manifest and enjoy and manifest the fullness of Christ. And the image there is that others are watching this person's life and honoring what God is doing in this believer's life who's set apart to live a life of radical surrender, risk-taking faith, extravagant obedience, burning with devotion and heart for him. And I love the language here. He says, but there are all these others, but my dove, my perfect one, is unique. She is her mother's only, or her mother's one. Or now, here's the thing. We know that there's not like just one like that out there. But it's just the scripture says that the Lord is my shepherd. And I can personalize that as if I'm the only sheep he's got in the whole world. And I think God's looking for a people who want to be that one that says, he's so zealous, not just jealous, but it talks about the fact that in the book of Joel, that he's so zealous for what he sees in my life and what I'm going after in him, that he's like going, there's nobody like you. He can say that about everybody, right? If they all have that heart, but I want to hear that in my heart. I want, like Daniel says, that Daniel was highly esteemed in heaven. And I want the Lord to be able to say about me, I want the Lord to be able to say about a corporate people, there's nobody, they're unique. Not so we have a pride thing. It's him who gets to be proud of us. You know what I'm saying? And there's something about this Shulamite that I love in chapter 8 towards the end of this story that began with such words like, I'm dark but lovely, draw me after you, let us run. Just the beginning places of, I know there's a lot of imperfections, but you see me and love me passionately. And it was that sense of his unconditional love that would draw her in more and more, the believer in more and more to repentance and surrender and trust and all that kind of thing. And so as we get towards the end of this story, this part of the Song of Solomon, it says in verse 11, this is the Shulamite speaking. So this is the believer speaking to Jesus. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon, and that means just, the word there is, just means multitude. He had a vineyard at Baal Hamon, and he entrusted the vineyard to caretakers. Each one was to bring 1,000 shekels of silver for its fruit. My very own vineyard is at my disposal. 1,000 shekels are for you, Solomon, and 200 are for those who take care of its fruit. The Lord's really been ministering to me a lot in these two scriptures, because these two verses, because it sort of captivates or encapsulates the thing about this Shulamite that he could say, they're all wonderful, but there's nobody like you. You're unique. You're the only one. And that is this, is that all of us, when the Song of Solomon speaks about vineyard, he's talking about your heart relationship with Christ. There's a place earlier, if you remember the Song of Solomon, in the very first chapter, when this journey began, this believer had to confess, my mother's sons, my brothers have been angry with me, and I've taken care of their vineyards, but I'm not taking care of my own vineyard. It's like a typical Christian. I work hard in the church, and I do all this stuff, but I'm not really taking care of my own heart relationship with the Lord. You know, there's Alan Redpath used to say, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. It happens a lot with ministers, with clergy, with priests. But for this one, this says, Lord, you've established these vineyards in Baal Hamon, this place, multitude, and you've established caretakers of the vineyard. It's just language of saying that each of us do have a place that we play, that we participate in our own heart walk with the Lord. Christ alone can live the Christian life, and he's infused us. Grace has a face, and all that grace is, we have in Christ. Christ is all, he's in all. But in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said he stewarded well the grace of God. So he's given us everything. It's a vineyard that's already got the multitude. We're born again into the fullness of Jesus. But we have to steward that fullness. We have to go after discovery and seeking Him, burning before Him. We have to go after extravagant obedience so that we put Him in the position He delights in, where He has to come through to prove Himself. He wants us to believe Him at extraordinary levels. He wants us to like this one who says, this is what's required of you. This is what's expected of one who has a relationship with Christ. You're a caretaker of your vineyard. If you're doing well in stewarding the grace of God in your life, you'll bring forth a thousand shekels from the fruit. But she says, but my very own vineyard is at my disposal. I've always loved that verse. My vineyard is at my disposal. My very own vineyard is at my disposal. I'm at a place where I'm tolerating nothing that would compromise my walk with you, that nothing that would pull me away and distract me. My very own vineyard is at my disposal. The enemy doesn't have say-so anymore about what I do, what I believe, where I go, what I desire. His voice, I'm not going to show him respect anymore. I'm driven by the love of Christ and by the voice of the Lord. She said, I'm going to bring you the 1,000 shekels and then 200 more. And the point being is, her heart's desire, what made her so unique in the eyes of Solomon was, she wanted to live for excess. I'm not content with just giving you with what's expected. I want to bring you more fruit than what's expected. I don't want to live even the normal go-for-it life. I want to live a life in excess for Jesus. I want to give you excess obedience, excess faith, excess passion. I want to bring excessive fruit, the fruit of your life being lived in me and the fruit of your ministry being manifested through me. I don't want to settle for just what's expected. And this is what's expected from God, not what the world might say, but what's expected from God. I want to give you more than what's expected. That's the heart that God is zealous for. And then I love the way this ends. He says, O you, speaking of all believers who sit in the gardens and the vineyards, my companions, the hosts of heaven, are listening for your voice. And then Jesus says, let me hear it. And there's only one voice that rings out, hurry, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. And here's the one who's already going after the more, always already manifesting excess, already bringing in excess, already going for it in an excessive way. And yet, this is the one when he says, all you who sit in the vineyards, my companions are listening to your voice, let me hear it. And she's the one who goes, hurry, my beloved, more, even more, Lord, even more. That's the heart. Lord, I want to see even more of your character manifested in my life. I want to use me more to bring people in the kingdom. I don't want to pray for a few. I want to pray for hundreds and thousands. I want to pray for everybody that I see. I tell people a lot of times, pray for everything that moves. I want to bring the kingdom of God and the reality of heaven to earth in every situation, in every place I go. I want to lift up my eyes and see the harvest and go for it, Lord. Hurry, my beloved. Let's do more. Let's go after more. More fruit, Lord. More harvest in my own heart and harvest in the lives of others. I love the way the Song of Solomon ends with this woman, this person, this picture of this believer just ascending and going after it with all their heart. And they end it with, Jesus goes, let me hear it. And she goes, this is what you want to hear? Hurry, my beloved. And I love the language, like with urgency. I can't stand it, Lord. We got to have more. Amen. All right. So there's some of you here today because you came here just to encounter the Lord, but some of you need healing. Hurry, my beloved. Some of you are going to be praying for people. Maybe you're going to be praying for some people, and you've seen people get healed, but you've never seen that get healed before. Hurry, my beloved. We want excess. That means going after more than's expected. So raise your level of expectation. I was telling TC about a quote that I heard from Francis Frangipane about hope, because, you know, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Hope is the anchor of our soul. It says in Romans 15:13, our God is a God of hope, not pessimism. He's a God of hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I've known this for a gazillion years, that the definition of hope is the confident expectation of good. But I was just reminded of that. And what Frangipane says is that for any area of your life where there's not the confident expectation of good, That's an area where you've given in to the lie of the enemy. Whenever you give in to the lie of the enemy, you give him jurisdiction to torment. So let's go after it. Amen? We're looking for more. And we're saying, hurry, my beloved. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.